people doing the Word and worshiping Jesus, from young kids to older people. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, the Word's good. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can open to Exodus 15. This will be, as far as I know, the last night of our healing series. It's the fifth service. This series will change your life concerning divine healing. And if it's an area that you struggle with your thought life, or, you know, wrong teaching growing up, or it's something you're unfamiliar with, or you're struggling in your body, you need to go back and listen to this and get it in your heart and make it a reality. Praise God, because healing is something that God provided for us through Jesus, and we shouldn't go without it. So Exodus 15 and verse 26, let's pray. Father, we are so honored, so grateful, so thankful for all that you have given to us. Father, all that you have provided for us. We are a blessed people. To be called the children of God, what an honor. To have a dad who loves us so much and demonstrated it and proved it by what you did for us through Jesus offering us salvation. But Lord, all the promises that go with it, from healing to prosperity to divine favor and to wisdom and strength and courage and freedom from us. We're so grateful, so blessed, Father. It's all because of you. And help us tonight to go further into the things that you have for us. Speak to us. We thank you for revelation and insight, for answers here tonight, for direction. Holy Ghost, speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that whatever needs to be said will be said. Whatever needs to be done will be done. And we will have a time of heaven on earth. Bullseyes in people's hearts will be hit tonight. And we will walk out of here changed from glory to glory. Father, these people have come out here tonight. Some have worked all day, maybe have work to go home to. Some have been in church all week already, but they're here again to hear your word. So, Father, bless them. You're not unrighteous to forget the labor that the people have shown, Father. You don't forget. So we thank you. You reward us tonight. We walk out of here changed in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Exodus 15, 26. We're not going to hardly spend any time in review. He said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, basically saying, be a doer of the word. We'll do that which is right in his sight. We'll give ear to his commandments and keep all the statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. And the truth is, he really didn't bring the diseases upon the Egyptians. They just chose not to do his word. It's called cause and effect, praise God. And they had the same opportunity to be blessed and healed as the Israelites did, but they just chose not to do it God's way. He said, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am. I love that. I am. People always say, God is such a mystery. Well, there are things that are mysterious about God, but there are things that's open book test, man, where it's like he's revealed himself, right? He's come right out and said, I am something. Well, if he am something, he still is something. Because he said in his word, and over there in Hebrews, he said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Praise God. If he was healing back then, guess what he's doing today? He's healing. He's in the same business. Hallelujah. And we saw that God's a healer. We saw that the Old Testament people got it. Go back and listen to these sermons. I'm not going to go back over them. We saw the Old Testament people, they had a covenant of healing, didn't they? And if they get healing, we get healing, because the Bible says we have a better covenant established upon better promises. So we didn't come over on the side of Jesus to have less. Praise God. And then we saw that it belongs to us through Jesus. What Jesus paid for us on the cross. You know, a lot of churches believe in salvation and that God died for us through Jesus and that we get forgiveness of sins and get to go to heaven. But just as much as that, that might be the main course. But how many of you know at the main course, there's always salads, there's bread. At least the main courses I enjoy being at, you know, and there's appetizers, there's dessert. And so the main course might be the steak dinner or the whatever you want to be your main course, but there's other parts. The main course was salvation, but man, there's things like healing. There's things like prosperity. There's things like freedom in your mind and different things like that. And so that was bought on the cross. Praise God. A lot happened on that cross for us. The Bible said he took our sicknesses. You need to see what you call your sicknesses. You need to see it on Jesus, right? Stop saying it's yours and start saying it's his. Praise God. He took it. He took it. Hallelujah. And then we saw last week, it's received by faith. All promises are received by faith. So we're going to go on tonight to our last service, as far as I know. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. You can learn so much about faith and how God works, what we need to do in our lives through the woman with the issue of blood. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Every time I read this portion of Scripture, I get excited. I love thinking about what this woman did, how she cooperated with the things of God. And also, I love to see what she had, we can have, and how she got it, we can get it. It said, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians, spent all she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse." Verse 27. "When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway or immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her," and it's very telling what he said, "he said, 'Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole.'" Praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, anything that's lacking wholeness here tonight, in your mind, in your emotions, in your finances, in your body, whatever it may be, Jesus paid for a wholeness life. The Bible says, "Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Well, that word "saved" in the Greek is the word sozo. It doesn't just mean spiritual salvation, saved from hell. It means a complete salvation. Whatever you need saved from on this earth, Jesus said, "I paid for it." Praise God. But you know how that wholeness comes? Is that wholeness comes through faith. So what you have been told that you're stuck with, what you have been lied to in your mind that you'll never be free from. I remember thinking I'd never be free from condemnation. That was a lie. I remember thinking I'd never be free from depression. That was a lie. I remember being sick, thinking I'll never be free from this sickness. That was a lie. I remember being so broke, I thought this was just going to be the way it is always. That was a lie. Jesus came to make our lives whole. Amen? Hallelujah. So whatever you lack, Jesus has the answer, but it's always acquired through faith. But not only did he say to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole," he gave her vital instructions. The verse did not stop there. He says, "Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Can we pull that up in the Amplified, please? "Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now look at this. It says, "He said unto her, 'Daughter, your faith, trust, confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health.'" Now what does he say? He says, now he's given her instructions, right? He says, "Go into peace." That wasn't a suggestion. That was, listen, you need to go into peace. But what's the result of going to peace? "And be continually," do you see that? "Continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease." So Jesus said, if you want to keep your healing, you can't go forth other than in a place or direction of peace. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for direction. Hallelujah. So we can go back to the King James, but what I want to point out is apparently, and this will apply to anything. Any promise of God is received the same way. We're talking about healing, but you can apply it to your money. You can apply it to your mind. You can apply it to whatever you're believing God for. Apparently, you can lose your healing.
Yeah. Come on. Come on.
Yeah. Come on. He said, if you want to be continually healed, that means maintaining a status of healing, you're going to have to go forward in a certain way. And it's called peace. Praise God. Amen. If you want to maintain your prosperity, you're going to have to go forward in peace. I've seen people come up to healing and slip right back into the same sickness. I've seen people come up to prosperity and fall right back into the same poverty. Well, we don't want to do that, praise God.
Amen.
You know, it's when a sports team wins the championship of football, Super Bowl, whatever, World Series, one of the most rare things for them to accomplish or to stay at is to stay at the top. You hardly ever see repeat Super Bowl winners. It happens few times, but you hardly ever see it. You hardly ever see World Series teams win back-to-back or, you know, NBA championships back-to-back. It's a very rare thing. Why? Because it's easier to win it the first time than it is to maintain and stay at the top. It's the same with the promises of God. It's one thing to get into something. It's another thing to maintain it. That's like the house we believed God for. And, you know, it took faith to get into it, but I'm finding it's taken more faith to maintain the payment every month, to maintain what's there. And it's one thing to get into something. Well, it's the same thing. Jesus said, okay, great, you got your healing today, but don't you want to keep it? Why would you want to go back? He said, if you want to keep it, here's your vital instructions. You got to go forward in peace. Amen. Hallelujah. And ladies and gentlemen, let's face it. We live in a chaotic world. We live in a world where worry, anxiety, and stress are the norm. That you're actually considered different and weird if you're not a worry wart. That if you're not stressed out, if you're not anxious, you actually stand out, right? And that can make you feel like, what's wrong? You should be worrying about something. Why aren't you worried about something, right? That's kind of the way the world pumps it into you. I mean, you turn on the news. All they're pumping and putting into you is worry and fear and this might happen, that might happen, and all this scary stuff, right? Why? That's the flow of a society or a world that the devil's in charge of. Yeah. And so it's important to realize that is not the flow that Jesus said you're to walk into. And that's what's important a lot of times with things of God, is you got to keep your focus in the Word, because, ladies and gentlemen, especially when you're going to be people, now this is a little bit off topic, but my heart's telling me to say this, especially when you're going to be people who are going to be sold out to the Word of God, you're going to be different. Bible calls you fools for Christ, calls you peculiar, you're a remnant. You know, there's not many people, even in Christianity, that are doers of the Bible. They love to be saved and they love Jesus, but they're not doing the Bible financially. They're not doing the Bible with raising their children. You know, actually, the world will tell you all sorts of ways to raise your kids, and it's the exact opposite of what the Bible says to do. The world will tell you what to do with your money. It's opposite of what the Bible says. They're different things. And so if you're going to be a doer of the Word, just like Jesus was, get ready to not be in the popular crowd. And you got to be comfortable. If you're going to thrive and succeed, you have to be comfortable not being popular. And not running with the mass majority. Because when you're not running with the mass majority, your mind and flesh will try to tell you you're doing something wrong. But let me remind you, 2 million people in the children of Israel, 2 million people, 10 spies came back and said what the land was, 2 came back. Well, 2 million people went with 10 over 2, and the 2 were right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's
good. And only 2 got to see the promise.
Yeah.
The 2 were comfortable being unpopular. Jesus, remember, in John chapter 6, he preached a sermon. People were very uncomfortable with it. And it said from that point on, many of his disciples, wasn't talking about the 12, but many of the disciples that were following him around, followed him no more. Many. We know how many people followed him around. Thousands of people. Who knows how much his church lost in numbers that day? The traveling Jesus church. Said many followed him no more. And you know what Jesus didn't do? He didn't chase them down. He didn't beg them to come back. He didn't change his message. In fact, he looked at the ones that were staying and saying, are you going too?
Yeah.
He wasn't going to change. He was very comfortable being unpopular.
Yeah. Right.
Amen?
Amen?
And I'll tell you what, when it comes to peace, you have to get very comfortable being uncomfortable, because your mind and your flesh is actually more comfortable being anxious and stressed and worried. It's easier to, on the mind and the flesh, now in the long run it's not, but I'm just saying the lie that it tells you, it's easier to be stressed out and worried and anxious than to actually take a place of rest and not care about it at all. Praise God. But Jesus said, go into peace. Now the opposite of peace, you want to say, call them antonyms, I guess, would be worry, fear, anxiety, and stress. Jesus said to continue to maintain your healing, you cannot go forth in worry. You cannot go forth stressed out. You cannot go forth fretting and anxious. If you want to maintain your prosperity, you cannot go forward stressed out, fretting, worried, and anxious. If you want to walk into the miracle or the blessing that you've released your faith for, that you're believing God for, you cannot walk out in stress and anxiety. You have to endeavor to go in peace. Amen. Praise God. Go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 in verse... Oh, let's go to verse 35. Now let me tell you why Jesus said to go forth. I had somebody today that they don't go to the church. I was glad I was able to help them. They texted me a problem they've been going through for a while. And they said, I just don't understand. Well, in the text, they had wrote that since May, they have been in condemnation, beating themselves up. And, or they said, what they said at first was, for a while, I have, something wasn't working in their finances. They said, for a while, and they wrote this, I've been in condemnation, beating myself up. Well, I wrote back, when you say you've been in that position for a while, what do you mean? And they wrote back, well, they had a specific date. Something happened a certain time in May, all the way up till, I think they said September 6th. They said they haven't been in faith and believing. I said, you've answered your own question in that text. I didn't say it that way. I just explained it sweetly, you know, that, well, what does the Bible say in 1 John 5 and verse 4? It's important that you know this, that the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. Yeah. Amen. Jesus told that woman, your faith. That's why I harp on faith all the time, because it doesn't matter. My faith will work to a measure, but my faith can't trump your doubt and unbelief. My faith can join with your faith and propel you, absolutely, and help you, strengthen you. But Jesus, through John there, said that the victory to your prosperity, to your health, is going to be won through faith. And so I told the person, I said, you answered your question. I said, you told me from May, June, July, August, and the beginning of September, four full months and maybe a week. I said, you've told me you haven't been in faith. I'll tell you, that's a lot of time when there's an enemy who's always launching fiery darts. The Bible says he launches fiery darts. He doesn't stop. He's very persistent, just keeps launching them. That's a lot of time to lay your shield down and to get pelted. Right? Because the shield of faith quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. And if you've laid it down for 4 months, boom, hit after hit, because the devil's not going to stop. The devil has no mercy. And if the one thing that quenches his darts is faith, we're going to preach faith until the cows come home, man. We're not going to stop preaching faith, because it's the one thing that the devil can't penetrate. But they laid it aside. I said, okay, to pick that shield back up and get back in the game, man. Encouraged them, you know, got them going. And so when I read this, you'll understand why Jesus said, after what I just said, why Jesus said, go into peace. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35 says, in the same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, he took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, one translation says of hurricane proportions, so that the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. That's not good. And he was in the hindered, now notice this, Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Well, their response tells us how bad the storm was. They were professional fishermen who were convinced they were dying. They had been in storms, no doubt, before. But this time, this one's different. They thought, we're dead. You know, why is our master sleeping? We're dead. Doesn't he know? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, now notice this. Remember, what is the opposite of peace? Fear, right? Anxiety, stress, and worry. He said, why are you so fearful? Well, wouldn't you also say, I'm not taking much liberty, that Jesus also said to them, why are you afraid? Why are you worried? Why are you stressed out? Why are you anxious? You could fit all those words in there, right? They're all synonyms of the word fearful. Why are you anxious? Why are you stressed? Why are you worried? So Jesus told the woman with the issue of blood, go forth in peace to continue to maintain what I've provided for you. So go forth in peace. Why did he say go forth in peace? Remember, what's the victory that overcomes the world? Even our faith. He says, why are you afraid? Why are you stressed? Why are you going out into anxiousness, stressed out, worried, and fretting? Like I told the woman of the issue of blood not to do. Why are you going out that way? How is it that you have no faith? So why Jesus is telling the woman, don't go forward in anything but peace, is because here's why. Peace and faith are companions. Where peace is, faith is. Where faith truly is, peace is. And so Jesus is telling her, the way you maintain your victory of healing is always going to be through faith. We know that in 1 John 5 and verse 4. But you can't maintain a faith lifestyle if you don't have a peace lifestyle.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's saying anxiety, worry, stress, and fear, they can't be there if you want to continue to walk in your blessing. Can't be there if you want to walk into your blessing. Peace and faith hang out together. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Hallelujah. Doubt and unbelief hang out with worry, stress, and anxiety. So Jesus is saying, you got to have peace. Now I love this. I saw this today in verse 39. It said, he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea. Notice what he said the answer to the storm was. Peace!
Yeah.
Never saw that before today. I mean, I've read it and seen that he said that. And you know, I've always just taken it from the fact that, you know, Jesus spoke to it. But notice what he spoke to it. Peace!
Yeah.
Peace! Praise God. Peace be still, hallelujah. So anyways, notice this though. If we're going to look at the characteristics of peace, look at verse 38. Jesus was in the hinder or the back part of the ship asleep on a pillow. Do you see that? Now, do you think that the storm caught Jesus by surprise? No, absolutely not. Now, if anybody, see, should have been up and about and not sleeping, it should have been him. Why? He knew what was coming. He should have been up preparing for it. Naturally speaking, right? He should have been up making, you know, telling them, okay, this is what's going to happen. We've got to be very careful. But he wasn't. Even when he knew it was coming and how bad it was going to be, he said, I'm going to take a nap. True faith has a rest to it. True faith has a rest to it where you can just sit back and not stress, not be anxious, but just let it go. And I'm going to help you with that tonight, how to do that. I remember, I go back to this testimony. I have lots of testimonies, but none better financially than the one we went through when we started the church. But I remember entering into, and that's what you need to do, enter into faith's rest. True faith rests. It's not anxious, it's not fretful, it doesn't pace the floor, it's not wringing its hands, it's not stressed out, it's not, you know, just, you know, gripping things like just, you know, just to the hilt, you know, just pacing and craziness in your mind. Faith has a rest. We see faith in action here. Actually, we see faith in action and doubt and unbelief in action.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, this is the picture of two Christians right here. Amen. Going through the same thing. One reacted one way, one reacted the other. I see it all the time. In fact, I'll see financial problems or even physical problems where let's even tip the scales one way where the person that actually has it worse is in more faith than the person that comes with just a little. I've seen the smallest financial things send people into how the disciples are. Just, oh my gosh, how could this happen? And I've seen people lose jobs. And I've seen people look like they're coming up to nothing and have a smile on their face and go through that thing with victory. I've seen it. That's what happened here. They faced the same thing. One acted one way, one acted the other. But see, Jesus, you say, well, that was Jesus. No, because Jesus likened the answer to the problem being peace and faith. Well, peace and faith is something we can all have.
Amen.
Praise God. So faith has a rest. And I remember entering into that rest. I remember it was almost like stepping over into something spiritually when I quit my job to pastor the church 6 years ago, and it put us $2,000 short average every month. Bills coming in, watched Caleb during the day, pastor the church at night. And when I say pastor the church, I mean that's when I prayed, sought God, was in the Word and different things like that. $2,000 short. I remember at first, man, just my mind was going, I couldn't sleep. You're calculating all these things. You're pacing the floor. You're trying to figure out. You're doing all the calculations. You're looking up different jobs. How many times you're going over your budget and just trying to squeeze any. I mean, you're just doing everything you can in the natural. And I'm not saying it's not wrong to go through some natural steps, but it's wrong to go through some natural steps when they're motivated and powered by fear.
Yeah, wow, that's good.
People say, "Oh, I'm just calculating the natural." That's fine, but are you doing it in faith? We have to do everything in faith to be successful. Amen? But let's be honest, a lot of times we're doing the pros and cons list. A lot of times we're weighing it. It's based out of fear. It's motivated out of fear. Yeah, let's do the natural in faith. But I remember entering into it, and I'm going to give you the how that happened for me. Because when I entered into it, oh man, it was like the only way I can explain it, and this is going to sound weird, but you already know I'm weird. Is it just felt like, and I don't even know if this would feel good. I've never done this before. I might try it just to see what it's like. Just jumping in a swimming pool of warm honey. I mean, that sounds pretty good, I think. I'm not sure. I might feel really uncomfortable getting out of that thing, but just a warmth when you step into that place of rest. Just going, and I'll tell you what, when you can operate from that place of rest, oh, it's so much better. Wouldn't you like to operate out of that place of rest? Where what's going on in your life right now that's troubling you, keeping you up at night, causing you to lose sleep, causing you to stress and to talk to other people about it and to sit there and replay it over and over again in your mind. Wouldn't you love for that thing just to be nothing to you anymore? Wouldn't you just love that thing to be no big deal? I'm going to take a nap and sleep on this. Praise God. Well, you can. You can. Hallelujah. See, the problem is, go to Isaiah 26 and verse 3. How many of you know tests and trials bring pressure?
Sure.
They do. Tests and trials bring pressure. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. You know, you can have financial pressure, right? You can have physical pressure. You can have pressure at your job, pressure at your work, pressure in your family, different things. But God has the answer if we'll direct the pressure in the right place. You know, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about a pill bottle. You know, at least the ones I know, like I was thinking actually back when I was younger and would take Tylenol at times, and if I don't know if they still make it this way, but Tylenol would have a little arrow on the top and a little arrow on the bottom. You'd have to line them up, and then when you line them up, you press on it and it would pop open, right? You could line that up, and if you put the pressure anywhere than other on that those arrows lined up, you could put the pressure on the side, put the pressure on the back, put the pressure on the top. It's not going to open that thing, and you're not going to get into what you need. You got to apply the pressure in the right place. Well, it's the same thing with the things of God. When the pressure comes, it's not the problem. The problem's not the pressure. The problem's that you haven't applied the pressure in the right place. I'm applying on the pill bottle the same amount of pressure, but I'm not applying it in the right place. And so the pressure, it's not the problem of the pressure is you haven't put it in the right place. We always say this, it's not the test that's the problem. It's just the fact that you don't have the right answer that's the problem. Because I took tests in schools that were problems, and I thought the test was a problem, yet the person next to me, it wasn't a problem to them. Why? They knew the answers. Right? So when you know the answers, you know how to apply the pressure in the right place. The pressure is not the problem, it's putting it in the right place. Well, Isaiah 26 and verse 3, look at this. I will keep him in perfect peace. Perfect. Perfect peace. You know what perfect peace is? That's no lack. Nothing lacking. I will keep him. Notice, keep him there. In perfect peace. Now notice this. Whose mind is stayed or fixed on thee. Well, what the Bible says that Jesus is the Word. God is the Word. So it's not just thinking about Jesus and the man that walked the earth and what he's doing now and just thinking about God and his power. No, he is the Word. The Bible says if you'll keep your mind fixed on him, he will keep you in turn in peace.
Amen.
So, now notice this too though, before I get to the pressure part of it. Perfect peace, because you might sit there and think, like I have many times, you can say this all you want, Pastor, but you're not in my shoes. You're not going through my physical problem. You're not going through my financial problem. You don't know what I'm facing in my family. Well, we got to be careful that we don't use our circumstances to trump the Word of God. That's where people get in trouble.
Yeah.
And you might say that, and that thought might come, but it's a thought of the enemy. You need to get that out, because this is your help. Because he said perfect peace doesn't matter how much money you have. Perfect peace doesn't matter what the doctor's report says. Perfect peace doesn't matter what's going around in the news or out there. Why can Paul say, be anxious for nothing, write that from a place of prison, and because he knew some things. He knew how to apply the pressure in the right place. He said, I will keep him in perfect peace, not whose money's all in the bank account, bills are all paid, not whose healing is all there and no symptoms of their body. He said, people that are in perfect peace, it all depends on what they do with their mind. What is he saying? When the pressure comes of the financial problem, or in what we're talking about tonight, the healing and the sickness, instead of taking that upon ourselves, direct that pressure towards the Word of God.
Amen.
See, the Word can handle the pressure. You can.
That's right.
We see this over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. See, you need to direct the pressure to the right place. What's the right place? The Word. Well, we see this in 1 Peter 5, 7. He tells us this. See, we've taken it upon ourselves in our healing, in our finances, and everything else. And we try to figure it out ourselves. And I remember the story of when Caleb brought me a toy. And I'm not very good at fixing things, but I when I say that mechanically and stuff, I'm just not given to it. Maybe I don't apply myself as much as I should, but I'm not interested in it either, so... Usually the stuff you're not interested in, you don't really apply yourself too well to. But anyways, I'm not very good at fixing things. But he brought me a toy that I could fix. And he broke it, did something with it when he was younger. He probably doesn't remember this. But he brought it to me, laid it on the table, and he couldn't fix it. He tried and kept messing it up. So I started to fix it. Well, he got impatient, took that off the table, and ran away into the playroom. Came back scampering to me. It was still broke. Laid it on there again. I said, okay, I'll fix it, buddy. Started to fix it. Snatched it up. Dad wasn't doing it quick enough. Ran into the playroom. Didn't have it fixed. Well, the third time he laid it down here, he tried to come back out again. I said, leave it with me. I said, if you don't leave it with me, I can't fix it. You keep trying to take something that you can't do yourself. Leave it here. I'll just give me a chance to get it done. And I got it done, and he went away and played. Well, look at 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. It says, casting all your, what's care? That means worry, anxiety, fear, stress, fretting. He says, cast all your care upon him. Well, what is he? He's the Word.
Yeah.
You know, we think of that in terms, you can think of it two ways, but the way really that we need to apply it, we think about casting it onto him through prayer, right? Like we'll say, and this is legit, and we should. Whether we're facing something, we say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I give that to you. I'm no longer going to take that. That's casting it on him, but there's even a more practical doing part of that by casting it to the Word, taking the problem and putting it directly to what the Word says, and let the Word carry that pressure. And I'll show you something in a second. How to bring this out. But he said, casting all your care upon him, on the Word, for he cares for you. See, you're not meant to carry your care. You never were given the ability to carry your care. That's why the world is so opposite to what Jesus says. The world says fear, stress, worry, and anxiety are normal. Well, of course they say they're normal. That's what the devil would want you to do. Because the Bible, the opposite of the devil's God, and God says, don't take any stress. Philippians 4, 6 says, be anxious, fretful, fearful, stressful over nothing. Don't be anxious about anything.
Amen.
It's possible if you'll direct it. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, your perfect peace depends on what you do with your mind. Keep your mind on the Word, you'll have perfect peace. See, let me say this. I heard a minister say it this way one time. Seemingly not enough money won't trouble the person thinking right. Symptoms in someone's body does not trouble the person thinking right. Well, what's thinking right? Thinking in line with the Word. Because when there's seemingly not enough money, your thoughts are on the Word, and the Word says the money's coming.
Yeah.
When there's troubling symptoms in your body, and the doctor says, when you're thinking right, thinking in line with the Word says healing is yours.
That's right. Amen.
It's true.
Hallelujah.
I'll tell you what, it matters what you think. Praise God. It matters how you think. I remember a story, Smith Wigglesworth, great apostle of faith. You hear many signs, wonders, and miracles of his ministry. And he was walking down, I don't know if he was at his house or his office, I can't remember. And the secretary or somebody ran up to him and says, Smith, the ministry, we have all these bills and we don't have enough money to pay them. Kim Lai, if you'd please pull up Philippians 4, verse 19. You're doing an awesome job, by the way, back there. Philippians 4 and verse 19. They ran up to Smith with the bills, right? And yeah, of course, you know, you bring them to the person that has to pay them. But I love what he did. After I do this, I'm going to need your help cleaning up. Just to kind of demonstrate, they ran up to him and gave him the bills and said, we don't have enough money to pay these. Well, how many of you know when you hear that, there's stress. There's anxiety when they're telling you there's no money to pay what's coming in. That creates an atmosphere of pressure. But see, he was a man of the word and spirit and knew what to do with that pressure. He grabbed the bills from the person. He said, these aren't mine to deal with. Thank you, sir. I'll even help you. Praise the Lord. But that's what he did. And the secretary stood there like, well, no doubt somebody had to come by. Thank you. And pick those up. But he was just saying, that's not my problem. What? He knew the word. But my God shall supply all my need according to not what they had in their bank account, according to his riches. So he said, this is up to God to pay this. It's not my problem. Why are you bringing it to me? What was he doing? That pressure and that anxiety. That's why I love when Jesus was going to Jairus' house to heal his little daughter. All the people started coming up and saying, oh my gosh, they were weeping. Instead, there was a great tumult. They were weeping. Like, oh, she's dead, she's dead. And Jesus said, don't fear, only have faith. He stopped it right off the bat. He directed the pressure off of the situation and onto the word. And that's what Smith Wigglesworth did. Say, don't put that pressure on me, that pressure that I can't pay those bills. We don't have it naturally, but the word does.
Yeah. Amen.
Directed the pressure to the right place. I remember we got an unexpected bill one time. I've told this story. I mean, a big thing from way in the past. And they were honest to pay it. And we had already paid our bills for that two-week period, and they wanted the money now. And I remember looking at that amount, and my mind was thinking, and she said, well, what are we going to do? And I said, we're going to act like the Bible's true. Yeah. Do you remember that day? Yeah. I got down on my knees. Let's get down on our knees right now. And I held that thing up before God, and this is what I did. I took the pressure off of me and put it onto him. Because when that bill came, there was pressure and stress there. Well, what are we going to do? We're going to act like the Bible's true. And I held that bill up before God. I said, now, Father, I do this all the time too, by the way. I want to remind you, you know, he said in Isaiah 43, put me in remembrance. Pull up Isaiah 43 and verse 25. Or no, verse 26. Isaiah 43, 26. I'm only doing what he says to do. Put me in remembrance. What's he say? Let us plead together. Declare thou. Declare what? What he has already said. Remind him. So I held that bill up before God. The pressure tried to get on me. I said, Father, I just want to remind you. You said in your word in Philippians 4:19 that you'd meet all my needs according to what you have. I don't have it, but you said you'd meet them according to what you have. So, Father, I thank you. This is your bill now. I put this in the God pile. The money has to come. I'm not going to take this stress, this pressure. You said you should. And I said you shouldn't have said it if you didn't mean it. Of course he meant it, but I was doing that for my own hearing. When I say stuff like that, it's not to be cocky towards God and like question God. God, I know God put it in there and meant it because when it's in the word, it's final. I know that. But I'm saying that for my own hearing.
Yeah.
It's building my own faith. When I say, Father, you shouldn't have said it if you didn't mean it, that's helping me.
Yeah.
It's not because people say, that's arrogant. No, I know my heart. I'm not like saying to God, well, God, you really shouldn't have said that. I know if he put it in the word, it's meant to be.
Yeah.
That he it's final answer. But I say that for myself. I said, you shouldn't have said it if you didn't mean it. Well, you meant it. So I thank you. Well, a couple days later, unexpected check for I think it was like $1,400 or $1,500 came in, paid that thing off, and had money left over.
Praise.
Well, I responded in faith. Now, it doesn't always happen that quick, but tell you what, thank God when it does.
Yeah.
Praise
yeah.
God. Well, what do people of the Word and Spirit do? They direct the pressure in the right place.
Yeah.
Keep your mind on the Word. You can't.
Sure.
You're not going to go forward in healing and prosperity if you're not in peace. Matthew 14, 23. We're almost done. Matthew 14, 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. So notice, it's important to notice before this story gets started, that it was already stormy and nasty out there. So the ship was in the midst, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. It wasn't good. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." They cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me or invite me to come on this water." And Jesus said, now this is what you have to understand, Jesus, the Bible says, is the Word of God. So when he speaks, it's gospel. Praise God. So Jesus opens his mouth to Peter and says, "Come. Come on out." Well, you have to understand, that's like Philippians 4:19 for your finances. The trial was walking to Jesus on water, doing something impossible when the waves were bad, the wind was bad. That was like Isaiah 53:4-5, "By his stripes you are healed when you're sick." That was the invite. It's yours. It's yours.
Oh,
it's yours if you want it. Come on, it's yours. Praise God. That was the word. So that was the scripture for that test and trial. What test and trial? Walking to Jesus, defying gravity, defying all the laws of whatever water and all that stuff is, and the wind and the waves. That was the word. Come on out. And Jesus said, "All your bills will be paid." That's your word. And he says, "You can be healed." That's your word. Praise God.
Good word.
And when Peter was come down out of the ship, notice this. When he come down out of the ship, when he came down out of the ship, what was already going on around him? The storm. The wind was already contrary. The waves were already tossing the ship around. So I can imagine getting out of that thing. You know, he was had to be very careful and step, you know, so he didn't fall over or whatever and get out in that water. But the Bible says he walked on the water. Jesus wasn't lying to him. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Praise God. He did the word. But oh man, there's a problem. There's a verse 30. I always say we have to get the spiritual gym memberships going and get that bun master, that butt master out working. We got to get rid of the butts in the church, right? Because verse 30 says but. Oh, why has there got to be a but? No, I just realized this just came in my head. I don't know if this is the youth group leader, but you know what butts are? They're stinky. You get some butts in when Jesus says do one thing and you say but. That's stinky, man. That's not good. For those of you that are dignified, forgive me. I'm not. But when he saw, now notice this, so he's walking on the water, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Well, the wind didn't change when he started walking on the water. The wind was always there, but his mind or his view was not on the wind. The pressure of the wind was directed on the word, which he said, "Come." It doesn't matter what the wind's doing. The word said, "Come." Doesn't matter what the waves are doing. The word says, "Come." Doesn't matter how much the bills go up. Doesn't matter how low the job goes down or the pay goes up. Doesn't matter. The word says all your needs are met. Doesn't matter what the doctor's report says. Doesn't matter what the symptoms in your body say. The word says you're healed. So he saw the wind was boisterous. So evidently, Peter took his eyes. I will keep him in perfect peace, which is the open door to faith, whose mind has stayed on thee. Evidently, at some point, Peter took his eyes off of the word which was come and put it on the circumstances. And what happened? His faith went right down with his body. Went right down with his body. Why? He was walking when he had directed the pressure of the situation and circumstance onto the word. But when he took it upon himself, see, what happened was when he saw the wind, well, he started thinking and saw the waves, what in the world am I doing walking on the water? Right? Can you see him saying that?
Yeah.
What in the world am I doing walking on the water, number one, and why would I be out in this water when it's doing this? I'm a fisherman. You don't go out in the water. You don't leave your boat. So he starts thinking in his mind, starts taking it upon himself, how am I going to stay on the water? Well, he never was on the water on his own accord. You can't pay your bills sometimes on your own accord. You can't get your body healed by a doctor or natural remedies or prescriptions and things like that. Hallelujah. Got to direct it to the Word. So we find a scripture. We find a come. That's what we find. We find it for our situation. And we rest our minds on that. And we meditate on that. And we cast it onto Him. And when the pressure starts to come of the bills and the thoughts come and people are talking and you're seeing things, you say, no, 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 no. You know how you direct pressure? Through your mouth. How you direct the pressure to the right place is your mouth. When your thoughts come and they start telling you you can't pay your bills, you're never going to be healed, this, that going on, you say, oh, no, 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 no. My God shall supply. And you're taking the pressure off you, put on it, and it's with the pressure comes the stress and anxiety. If you get rid of the pressure, guess what you get rid of? The stress and the anxiety. If you can get rid of the pressure, how do you get rid of the pressure? Putting the pressure on the Word. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on thee. Put it on the Word. You won't have the pressure. You won't have the stress and the anxiety. Your faith will be there. Amen?
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this in closing. When it comes to being a Christian, understand what I mean. You have to become good at not giving a rip. Because what is the reason people get thrown into such worry and stress? Because our minds go to the worst case scenario. Well, I love what Pastor Webb said last night at service when he was talking about being a big giver. He said, I came out of nothing. I have nothing to lose. I already came out. People with sickness and disease, you know, let me just turn it around on the devil real quick for you. The Bible says the sting of death is gone. It's crazy to me. Now, I understand there's a fight in a human being. I get it. And we ought to want to live a long life and do whatever we can on this earth to be fruitful for Jesus and win as many people to the Lord and be the body of Christ, right? We don't just get saved and check out. We should want that, praise God. But one way we can slam it in the devil's face, especially when it comes to things like sickness, because the worst case scenario is, you're going to die. Oh, really? That's the best case scenario. Because the Bible says to depart and be with Christ is far better. So the Word actually takes the pressure off of death.
Yeah, that's good.
Takes the fear away. Oh, well, so the thought comes, well, you're not going to be able to pay your bills and you're going to have no money. Okay, so what? I have a mansion waiting up there for eternity that I'm going to kick back and put my feet up and sit there and enjoy. And sip on some heavenly lemonade and just think about all the victory. I mean, I'm not saying that that's what we resign ourselves to, but really, the worst case scenario really isn't the worst case scenario. The devil's just a big fat liar and everything. But the awesome thing is, instead of just directing when sickness comes, well, the Bible, instead of directing it to the Word of, you know, the Bible says when you die and just being okay with diet, why not direct it to what it says you can have and be healed? Or just resigning yourself to, well, the Word says I'm going to have prosperity in heaven. Well, why just wait till heaven? Direct the pressure on the Word of heaven, prosperity now. But you just got to get good at not giving a rip. Just don't care. The bills keep going higher? Not my problem. I love you. Just threw them. Such an act of faith. What are you bringing these to me for? They're not mine. I could just, you know, I've heard them preach before in sermons, old sermons. I just hear him doing that. I've seen his picture. Just heard he's just like a little bulldog, you know, just fighting the devil. Well, you got to get good at not giving a rip.
Amen.
Directing pressure to the Word. Amen? Amen? Father, we love you tonight. We're so grateful. We're not going to worry anymore. If you have any worry right now, any anxiety, direct it to the Word. How do you direct it to the Word? By your words. The worry comes. I'll say that because this just came up in my heart. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Please, I'm just asking that. Maybe God's spoken something in your heart that you don't have a scripture for, about something in your future, about something, you know, a job or a house that can be yours, or you know, a promise that he said that you could have, and it doesn't seem to be manifesting, or it seems like there's lots of obstacles. Don't take that pressure. Direct that pressure back onto him and what he told you you could have. Amen? Put the pressure on him. Hallelujah. If it's money, put the pressure on Philippians 4:19. If it's sickness, put the pressure on Isaiah 53:4-5. Put it on there. Praise God. Whatever it is, put it on the word. Father, we love you tonight. We glorify you and magnify you. We praise your holy name. I know everybody in here is born again, but I don't know if everybody listening by live stream or in the archives in the future is born again. So if you're listening to the sound of my voice and you can say, if I died today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Well, man, I'll tell you, get over on the other side of that fence. Jesus said you can receive salvation just by believing in him. So if you're listening and you can say, I do believe in Jesus. I believe he died. I believe he rose again. Well, the Bible says there's one last thing to do. Just ask him into your heart. So if you're here and you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or I should say not here but listening, just ask him to come into your heart. Just say, Lord, I do believe you died and rose again. I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. Shoot me an email. Give me a phone call, and we'll get you hooked up in a Bible teaching church. Salvation is just the beginning, but now you need to walk into all that God has for you. And you'll never be able to do that without a Bible teaching pastor. So, Lord, we thank you. We bless you. Let's just worship him for what we received tonight. Hallelujah. We glorify you. Worry's not okay, ladies and gentlemen. Worry's not okay. If you want to maintain, you want to get into something and maintain it, you got to have peace. We love you, Jesus. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I took to heart what Pastor Webb said yesterday. As the prophet of God said, be praying for our nation. So what we're going to do now, and nobody's obligated to stay, we're going to pray for the country and for the upcoming election. There's a lot riding on it. And I love what he said, too, and it's so true. You know, we're not Democrats. We're not Republicans. We're not independents. We're Christians. We're not black. We're not white. We're not Asian. We're first and foremost the body of Christ. And I love what he said, not to get emotionally attached to a candidate, because there's different issues and people have different cultural things and backgrounds and people get so wrapped up and attached. We want what God wants. We want whatever, how that looks or whatever, you know, we might think a certain way, but we have verse on it that tells us we don't think like God thinks. So we're just going to spend, you know, 10 minutes or so just praying. And if you're newer with us, I don't know everybody's background. We do pray in the Spirit around here. And the Bible says when we pray in the Holy Ghost, that we pray out the perfect will of God. In Romans 8:26, it says the Spirit helps us. You know, I don't know everything to say in English. I'll pray in English for a little bit, but the Bible says the Holy Ghost is our helper, and he gives our spirit utterance. And when we pray in unknown tongues, the Bible says we pray in mysteries. We pray out the mysteries of God or the perfect will of God. So if you're here and you stick around and you hear us praying in tongues, don't let that weird you out. The Apostle Paul, who wrote 14 books of the New Testament, who was the greatest Christian that ever walked the face of the earth, he said, I thank God I pray in tongues more than you all combined. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, he said, and these signs will follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. That's just one of the doctrines that the body of Christ has pushed off to the side, and we were never meant to go without it. The first thing Jesus said to do in Acts chapter 2 is he said, do not, or Acts chapter 1, he said, do not leave Jerusalem till you get filled with this power on high. That's what he said. So if you're not filled with that power on high, you can come forward. I'll lay hands on you and we'll pray for you. You get filled with the Holy Ghost. But don't let it weird you out and cause you to think, what is this? No, be smart enough to ask questions. Be smart enough to say, I don't understand this. What does the word say? And if we can't explain it by the word, then go somewhere else or just spit that out, right? Praise God. We stick with the Bible around here. But I just want to let people know that. So we're going to pray. But if you need to leave, just quietly dismiss yourself. And we're going to just pick right up and pray for a few minutes here. Just lifting our faith corporately for the election, for God's will to be done. Father, we love you. Let's just start by worshiping him. We love you, Jesus. We magnify you. We honor you. We glorify you. We thank you, Father.